I'm Holly Waymont, and this is Pediatrics Now for Parents. Joining me here in the podcast studio today is a doctor who has 40 years of experience taking care of babies. She's a mom, she's a grandma, she's president of the Texas Pediatric Society, and she's also passionate about early relational health. Dr. Alice Gong, thank you so much for being here today in the podcast studio.
Thank you.
So the American Academy of Pediatrics defines early relational health as a framework that explores the role of early relationships and experiences in healthy development across a child's lifetime. Relationships, especially in the early years, are biological necessities to build a foundation for lifelong growth and development. And they say they have three topics. Relationships should be safe. The relationship is free of physical or psychological harm. Children believe their caregivers will protect them. Stable, the adult is dependably there for the child. Children believe their caregivers will meet their needs. And nurturing, the child's physical, emotional, and developmental needs are sensitively and consistently met. Children believe their caregivers will use warmth and clear expectations to foster their development.
Perfect. You know, and you know, basically you are helping this little human lay the good groundwork for good brain development that helps them be able to learn new things and explore their world, understanding the parameters that you have set, the guidelines that you've set for a safe environment. As you know, if you can get that relationship going, you're not going to have that kid that's going to have temper tantrums and throw their head on the floor against the wall and the things that, you know, we don't like to see. You know, when kids do that and we ignore them, we're also feeding into it because no one wants to be lonely, you know, and you don't want to give the message that you don't care. So, you know, try to care.
That's great advice. I know with my three children, one of them started to ignore the other one who was doing something they didn't like or saying something he didn't want. And I said, talk it out. It's better to deal with a conflict. It's much worse to ignore your friend or your sibling or your family member. That's a terrible feeling. It's cruel.
Well, not being able to confront our feelings is, I think, a lot of the problems we have. Right? You know, if for relationships, you know, ask questions about how the other's feeling, listen, and don't interrupt, you know, listen. Well, you know, if you're talking about the autonomic nervous system, the pinnacle of it is to be able to do eye contact and be able to approach whoever you're approaching with calm and not in that I'm going to, you know, I'm scared to death of you and I need to either fight you or run away or withdraw so that you don't know I exist. So if we can achieve that pinnacle of our autonomic nervous system, we should be able to see new people and look them in the eye. And well, babies communicate with their eyes. And that's what I tell parents. I say, you need to look at your baby in the eye and you have to engage them. And the earliest signs of autism is the baby that cannot engage, cannot look you in the eye. So, you know, that's something that when I see those babies and they're not doing it very early, I just tell mom, I said, you need to spend time every day looking your baby in the eye. And when they divert, I just put my face where they, you know, roll their eyes to. And then I keep trying to draw them in. And that does take some work. You know, it takes a lot of smiling and cooing and talking and stuff to get their attention. But it's so worth it. You know, if you think about how hard a life is for a child with autism, if there's something you can do to prevent that, it's worth trying. So take your newborn baby and look them in the eye and keep looking them in the eye and keep engaging them while they're awake. Well, you know, pregnancy and birth just changes people. You know, I, as a mother that was on a professional career, I didn't realize how much it would change me. When you see that little baby for the first time, after carrying the baby during the pregnancy, you could feel that you're changing. You know, there are a lot of hormones to help with that. And so when the baby's born and you get the baby and you're holding the baby and you're loving on your baby and you're going, wow, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And you're counting fingers and toes and baby opens his eyes or her eyes to look at you and you just melt. You know, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. You smile and the baby looks at you and talks with his or her eyes at you and you make that connection. And, you know, biologically, we're set up to do that because pregnancy helps us with all these good hormones that help us regulate that loving, you know, so that oxytocin, that feeling, so that you become connected with your baby. And, you know, if you follow kind of what nature intended and you're breastfeeding, you're looking at your baby all the time when you're feeding and the baby's looking back at you. And there's a lot of communication, even before verbal communication. And because that relationship is, you have that relationship, you can read your baby's cues because baby can't tell you I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I'm, you know, or, you know, my diaper's wet or I want to be hugged. They can only complain if you don't do what they want. And which is kind of, you know, a lot of parents say they won't lay down. And I said, well, you know, because they want to be with you, you know. And we as a society have gotten away from that. Our mothers work, they have a lot of responsibilities, and that is not a bad thing, but you just need to kind of work around it. I think that if we could follow all the developed countries in the world and have paid maternity leave, a policy that allows mothers to have those first months with their babies where they get to know their babies so that they develop this unspoken language, that but there is a lot of conversation actually going on between mom and child. And that gives that child a good relationship that somebody can count on, you know. They can count on that if they're upset, their mother or their caregiver will respond and will take care of what they need. And they don't have language, but they can cry and they can make a big noise, you know, to let you know. But if you don't respond to them and they fuss enough and nobody responds, then what they'll do is go into the more primitive part of their autonomic nervous system, which is that withdrawal. And that is not a good thing because your autonomic nervous system regulates all the things that you have to do without thinking about it. Breathing, you know, getting your blood pressure right, breathing and getting your heart rate right. Understand, you know, having your body being able to regulate a lot of things that we don't consciously think about, that autonomic nervous system has to be mature so we can do that. If you don't, and you go into the more primitive autonomic nervous system, then you can't do those things. You're not able to regulate your heart rate, and you're not regulate your breathing. You're not able to regulate your all the wonderful physiologic things that we as humans are endowed with without having to think about it. And when you're not balanced and you're not regulated, then that child tends to have lots of other issues, the inability to speak, so language issues, developmental delay, being isolated. And isolation is the worst thing because loneliness is major epidemic now. When you are isolated and you can't connect with people, you don't know how to have a relationship. And without that relationship, someone to stabilize you, you end up with a lot more mental health problems.
And yet a lot of parents give timeouts. It's very common to...
Well, timeouts can be of value as long as it's understood what it's for. And so before you go to the timeout stage, learn to read your child and learn to read what your child, when your child gets frustrated and try to intervene before the point of severe frustration after crying, banging your head and so forth. If you can intervene ahead of time and do something like calm your baby, pick your baby up and hold them and love on them, divert them from, say, what you think they want that you don't think they should have. Say if your child is going to run out in the street and you pick them up and they scream at you because they want to run out in the street, and you can calm them. Sometimes it's hard to calm. Sometimes some children do need a little time away just to calm. And that could be your time out. You could say, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Let's go do time out. And you can give them a short time out. And then when they are calm and able to listen, say, explain to them why it is important that they as a little person should not be running out in the street, because a big old car may hit them and then they would be very damaged and you would be very upset. I think to tell your feelings to your children is important, because they need to understand that. They have all these feelings. They just can't put words to it. But if you give them the words and say, you know, that makes me very scared that you want to run out in the street. And that's not good for me either, you know. So, you know, when we come to a street, the best thing you can do is hold my hand. And if you want to cross the street, make sure I can see that it's safe for you to cross. And then we cross together. You know, making it a relationship togetherness, not, just it's my way or the highway, or that the child is always in the wrong. You know, children need to explore, and you as the parent need to make sure they explore. You want that child to grow up and take care of you.
That's a great point. And as we know, in Texas, corporal punishment is legal, and there are people who spank their kids. And do you want to say anything about that? I mean, is that helpful in any way? Does that help the child? Does that help the relationship? I can't imagine that it helps.
Right, because all the child is going to feel is the pain of the hit. Eventually, children get used to that pain. And if that's the only way to get relationship, they will continue to aggravate you, which is not what you want, you know. Rather than hitting, think of some other ways that you can approach the situation. All of this requires thought. And a lot of us, because we grew up in generations where that's what parents do. If you did something wrong, they hit you, you know. But did that accomplish anything? And was that I think if a parent says, you know, I really don't like that. That makes me hurt. That hurts me. That is just as effective as hitting them, because that emotional thought of that you hurt someone is ingrained in us that we, you know, if you have a good relationship, you don't want to hurt the person you love. And even you may not understand that you hurt them. But if you spank a child, you've turned the situation where you felt hurt into a painful experience for the child. Is that going to keep the child from doing the same thing again? Some children might, but not all. Some children will just do as much as they can to get your attention. And if the attention is only with pain, that is not good for that child to feel that the only way they can get what they crave is to pay.
And to allow your child to share his or her range of emotions, be there with them when they're mad, when they're feeling jealous, sad, angry, and not just rewarding happiness.
Yeah. Well, as long as there's a way to communicate your feelings, you feel better about it, you know, and you're able to come to some resolution. And we live in a society that doesn't have resolution.
There's nowhere to put those emotions.
No.
And if we cover them up, that doesn't help.
No, it just comes out another ways worse, which leads to mental health issues.
Mm. And no parent wants that, of course.
No.
They just may not realize it. Mm-hmm. And I remember you telling me that really all that does is it makes the child feel bad. Mm-hmm. It's not really teaching a lesson, except for maybe someone who they love and trust might hurt them. Dr. Alice Gong with the University of Texas Health Science Center and University Hospital, thank you so much for being here on Pediatrics Now.